Welcome to Larry Reedy's America. Today's guest is Tara Britton, and Tara is the executive director of the Southeastern Indiana YMCA. Tara, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Larry. I'm glad to be here.
Okay. Since this is more than a local podcast, let's start where you were born, grade school, high school, and I'll ask you a couple questions after that.
Sure. So I grew up in Lebanon, Ohio. It's about an hour from here across the border, and went to Lebanon schools all growing up, Lebanon High School, and went on to play basketball for a short time at Anderson University here in Indiana, which I never knew I'd end up in Indiana. And then I ended up transferring to Miami University in Oxford, Ohio, and that's where I finished out my college career at Miami.
Okay. When you were growing up, is there anything you wanted to do when you got out of high school or college?
Yeah, I was pretty focused growing up on basketball. I started playing year-round probably when I was in eighth or ninth grade, and I think that kind of clouded my focus on what I actually wanted to do with my life. And even still to this day, I think sometimes I'm still trying to figure out what I want to be when I grow up.
Yeah, me too. I wanted to be a pro baseball player, but that didn't work out.
Yeah, it didn't work out for me either.
So out of when you graduated from college, what was your first job?
I actually worked at the Miami University Rec Center in college, and then I started grad school as a graduate assistant for the rec. And once I decided I'd had enough school, I just kind of got a job. It was very much right place, right time, and got a job at the rec center where I was already working. So I worked at the Miami Rec Center for 12 years before I came to Batesville.
So what possessed you to come to Batesville?
I get that question a lot. Well, when we were living in Hamilton, Ohio at the time, that's where my husband grew up, and my daughter was getting ready to go to school. And we were just kind of looking around the tri-state area, Cincinnati area, Northern Kentucky, Indiana, and just trying to decide where did we want to raise her and what kind of environment did we want to raise her in. And so my husband, he is one of those very detailed evaluation type of people. And he kind of mapped out all these different places we would drive around. And we found actually property in the East Central School District. We bought property and we were going to build. And we moved to a rental while we were kind of trying to work through that. And at the time I was about eight and a half months pregnant with my son. And I would not recommend moving when you're that pregnant. But once I had him and I was on maternity leave from my job at Miami, I spent almost every day in Batesville and even at the Y. The Y has Child Watch, which you can put your kids in for up to 2 hours a day while you go and work out or, do whatever you need to do in the Y. And I went from being a full-time working mom with one child to I'm staying home. I have a six-year-old and now a newborn, and I'm home all summer with them, to basically feeling like, I'm kind of a stay-at-home mom at the moment. And that was a really hard transition for me. So I spent almost every day at the Y and, at Liberty Park and at the coffee shop. And kind of as we went through that, I just said to my husband, I think that we need to live in Batesville. I love the community. I love the downtown. I loved the Y. And so I went back to work after maternity leave and we started looking at houses in Batesville. I bet we went through 30 plus houses. Our real estate agent she loved going through houses with us because she got to hold our son and was like, I'll hold the baby. And that was fun. But we finally kind of lucked onto a place that we were able to build a house in town. And that's kind of how we ended up in Batesville. It was a lot of by chance and just being in the right place at the right time.
Well, we kind of did the same thing.
Yeah.
We're both from Cincinnati.
Okay.
And as our family grew, our first six kids are 8 years apart. And our seventh one came in 4 years later. So we had a home in Cincinnati, and as the kids, you know, at that young age wound up, we bought a travel trailer, a 33-footer, and we used to camp in the Smokies and such. But our first few camping outings, they had a safari campground down here, and a former teacher at the high school, Bob Kroll, owned it. So we came down here a few times, and on a whim, I bought 41 acres.
Wow.
Here. When we decided we had to have a bigger home, we looked in Cincinnati, and bigger home, postage stamp lots. We couldn't do that.
Yeah.
So we had already purchased this property, and we decided to build a home here. And best move we ever made.
Yeah.
And that was in 1976 when we moved in.
Very cool. So yeah. Your kids all, they started living in Cincinnati and then grew up here?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The last one, I think when we moved in, he had just turned 1 year old.
Okay.
So some of them that were in school went to St. Antoninus in Cincinnati.
Okay.
And then we came down here and went to St. Louis. The girls went to the academy. The boys went to BHS.
Okay.
So it's been a good ride.
Yeah, we enjoy it as well.
Yeah, well, you can't beat this community. I mean, right now, downtown Cincinnati is kind of like the, Wild West, and so is Indianapolis. And, we go to Cincinnati once in a while, but very, very seldom. If it is, it's an old people's lunch.
We've enjoyed traveling around Indiana, and just my daughter does soccer, and so we've had the opportunity to kind of go to all these small towns around kind of, west of Indy and mm-hmm. this direction and kind of south. And we have really enjoyed exploring, like Franklin, Indiana, Madison, just kind of popping into these towns that have a very small town, kind of the way it used to be type of feel. Yeah. And we love that kind of nostalgia. And it just, you feel safe. You don't feel like, your kids can't run ahead of you, or even at the campgrounds, the campgrounds are kind of that last safe place that kids can be and ride their bikes, and you don't know where they are till it turns dark. And we love that as well.
And I noticed, Batesville's done so much for, for kids. I mean, they got the skate park now and the Brum Woods. Mm-hmm. I mean, who would ever thought that would happen? So how did you get involved with the Y?
Well, that is interesting as well. I teach spinning or indoor cycling, and I've taught that since probably, I don't know, I was probably 22. And so when we moved in this direction, spent a lot of time at the Y. I had got to know the new wellness director there just a little bit. His name was Jacob Garvin. And just kind of by chance said, hey, I'd love to teach a class. So I started teaching a cycling class at the Y probably about when my son was probably about 6 months old, and kind of got to know some of the staff and really loved the environment, the staff, and just said one day to one of the directors, her name is Jenny, I said, hey, if you ever, there's ever a job opening here. And she said, just send your resume to Angie, the executive director. I said, okay, I'll do that. So it was very just, again, right place at the right time. And there was kind of a new position opening up. It was very similar to what I was doing at the rec center. I was driving about 55 minutes to get to work every day. And so long story towards the end, it was just, here's a job. And I interviewed for it and turned out that I was a good fit. So I went from being a cycling instructor to the director of operations and now the CEO.
And so when did you start at the Y? What year?
I actually started as a cycling instructor in October of 2017.
Okay.
But I didn't get the full-time job until end of March of 18.
Okay. Refresh my memory. I know the Y's been there over 20 years, but how long has it
So we're getting ready to hit our 31-year anniversary.
Yeah.
We hit 30 years last year and had, you know, some celebrations and the kind of grand opening of the outdoor community sports complex that has the pickleball courts and stuff like that. So 31 years.
Yeah. Well, let's go through some of the activities and what's available for people, because I know when the Y first opened, they still had, I used to go to work out and I found it too easy to say, well, weather's bad today. Maybe I'll go later. So instead I built my own little gym out in my Morton building.
Nice.
So, and I'm religious about it. I do 3 times a week with the weights and I do cardio. I don't walk as much as I used to, but
that's good.
At the Y, I mean, facilities were excellent, and they kept improving on weight machines and different treadmills and such. So, but since that's been several years ago, and because we had a home in Florida also, and I belonged to Gold's Gym down there, that's when I was really in good shape. Now. I'm getting steroids in my knee, and I keep waiting to bulk up, but it's not happening. So anyway, from the beginning, when did so many of these new programs take place in a chronological order? And tell everybody what's available. I know you have babysitting, but you have a lot of things for seniors and. Just start wherever you want because it's kind of amazing.
Yeah. So the Y opened in 1993, and was pretty quickly there was more people than we had space. And so there was a group of people, a lot of names people would recognize probably in town, Gayla Hagwood, you know, George Junker, the Hillenbrand family, obviously, that had a vested interest in kind of what is the next step for the Y. And so pretty quickly, there was a child care center added in 1995. We have a space for kids from age 0 up to age 12, 0 being 6 weeks.
And explain what the service is there and the cost.
Yeah, so child care is for age 6 weeks all the way up to age 12. For the 6 weeks to preschool, that can be full day care. Some people do part time, most do full time care. And then that's just an early learning environment. So there's a lot of education and trying to get that love of learning started at the earliest age that we can get them, reading books to them, doing activities, educational activities. And then once they hit grade school, we have before and after school care. And then during the summers, we have summer break or summer camp. So our summer camp program is extremely fun. We have a very new kind of exciting summer camp ahead for this summer. We have a new youth experience director who's running that. Her name is Amber, and she is full of so many amazing ideas and creativity. And we are partnering with the Girl Scout group. The Girl Scouts own the Girl Scout house just off of Park Avenue in town. And that space is acres of the woods and some of those lakes and the beautiful Girl Scout house. So they have agreed to let us partner and use that whole property for our summer camp this summer, which is going to be out there all day, every day for the summer. We're calling it Camp Alon. Alon stands for, I think it's an oak tree. Amber will probably be very upset with me for not knowing this. But so Batesville is well known for the oak trees and everything. So we kind of tried to pay homage to Batesville and the community. And so we have our summer camp that will run this summer.
Okay. Back to the child services. Do you have to be a Y member?
You don't.
Okay. Is there a break in price for Y members versus?
There is. Okay. Yep. There's, it's about a 20% discount if you're a Y member to do child care.
Okay. So full-time child care is how much?
Well, I don't have those rates off the top of my head, but they're different from a 6 week old that's going to cost a little bit more in infant care than when you go up to the 5 year olds and then into before and after school care and summer camp. Prices range anywhere from $200 to $350 a week, depending on the age.
Okay.
Yeah.
And to the people that are taking care of children, especially the infants, is there any kind of certification they have to have, or do they have to do classes before they can apply for this job, or how?
Yeah,
that work?
Definitely. Our lead teachers, based on the licensure that we have, we're a level 4 Paths to Quality licensed facility. We're the only one in about a 9-county radius. And we also are NACE accredited, which is a national accreditation. Yeah. And so that requires that our lead teachers, who kind of lead each room, have a minimum of a CDA, a child development degree, or it's a year certificate program. And they have to have that or start it within a year of taking the position. And so we have some that range from having a CDA all the way up to associate's degrees and bachelor's degrees. And that is part of the early learning piece to that, that it's not just we're not just babysitting your kids all day.
Oh,
we're actually teaching them. We're educating them. We're again, building that love of education and learning. And so that's where those teachers are. They do amazing. We have a great group of staff who they educate, but they really love the kids. Mm-hmm. They get to know their families. They get to know a lot about these kids. They spend 40 plus hours a week taking care of these children, and they learn to just love on them. And it's amazing to see.
How hard is it to get qualified people to work then?
It can be challenging. It can definitely be challenging. The, you know, where we are at in Indiana, we are in what's considered a childcare desert. So that means that there are more people who need childcare than what childcares are available. There's some other childcares in town, childcare operations in town that do a great job. They're smaller, much smaller than us. And even with those private places as well as us, And looking at the size of the population and the spots needed so that families can work and have a safe place for their kids, it's challenging to not only provide enough seats or spots for these people, but then you have to get the staff. And the staff, it is a position that is, you know, as you get more education, sometimes we lose them to different school systems. But we have really great opportunities within our Y. We pay for up to 90% of their education. So if they do go to school, there's a TEACH scholarship that pays for most of their schooling. We have benefits to being a Y member, a Y membership, and program discounts for them and their kids, discounts on childcare, and a great retirement. So we try to say that, you know, looking at the financial piece and then looking at everything else you get is really kind of how we sell the why. And then just building a culture of, you know, support and an environment where people want to be there.
Mm-hmm. So when, let's go to my favorite subject, seniors.
Yeah.
What do you offer seniors?
Well, our senior adult population continues to grow rapidly. We serve more than just Ripley County. So our service area is primarily Ripley and Franklin counties, but we also have people coming from Dearborn and Decatur counties, as far south even as Ohio County. We've even had some people from Harrison, Ohio. So
Where's the nearest Y besides us?
The closest Y would be the Decatur County Y, which is in Greensburg. That's
but
about 25 minutes.
People.
We do, because the closest Y then going south is Switzerland County, which is 45 minutes. And then going east, you're going to hit the Cincinnati Ys in Coleraine. So between us and Greensburg, the Decatur County Y, we have kind of an important set up to be there for senior adults. And so there's no senior center in Batesville. There's no traditional senior center in Batesville. So that's kind of where we fall in. We have Clard Club. It's a euchre group that comes every Monday. They play for 2-3 hours. They play euchre and they are so good and they feed each other and they just love having new folks. So that's on Mondays starting at 11 if you want to play for 2 hours, 10 a.m. if you want to play for 3 hours.
How many seniors normally turn out?
We get anywhere from 25 to 30, 35.
Really?
Yes, it is. it is a large group, and they just love.
Now, is that a free service or?
Yeah, so we actually, the card club, we don't require you to be a member. Okay. You just can come in, play euchre, enjoy some fellowship and food, and that's no membership required.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. And what else do you have for
We seniors? Have a book club that meets once a month, and that's run by one of our members. And again, you don't have to be a member to do the card club. The book club, and that they just pick a book maybe every quarter. They read the book, and then they meet and talk about it. So that group of ladies and men, they probably are around 10 to 20, depending mm-hmm. on the book. But our biggest group of senior adults and kind of activities is the senior adult fitness classes. Those between the land classes, so land being not in the water, and then we have water classes. I would bet on any given day we see 60 to 80 senior adults that are coming wow. to take our senior fitness class, take Zumba Gold, take the water fitness, like noodle aerobic, senior arthritis class. There is an amazing amount of opportunity so that, you know, when you look at those seniors coming in, it's not about just about their physical wellness. Obviously, we want to help them stay well, the mobility to be there, you know, kind of what you said, sometimes there's aches and pains. So the water is nice because the aches and pains aren't as bad. But really the other pieces to that I don't think people realize when you talk about these types of classes is the social and emotional wellness mm-hmm. that people get. So those people are coming in, they are making friends. Someone is holding them accountable, saying, "We missed you." I mean, having someone tell you that we missed you is, you know, it's incredible to feel like, I wasn't here and somebody noticed. And so that social piece and really exercise and physical activity, it contributes to your, you know, mental well-being. And so I think when you look at senior wellness, you know, you have to think beyond just the physical piece to it. Right. It's a lot of other things as well. So our classes are huge for the senior adults. We also have a Parkinson's boot camp class that is geared more towards people who have Parkinson's and or other certain neurological, you know, whether it's a stroke or something else, yeah. That class has been as high as 20 strong. And it's again, just teaching some of the things that folks lose with Parkinson's are simple things like grip strength, how to grip a brush or a toothbrush. And so it's using things like these balls that just squeezing them to understand how to build that strength and not lose the mobility. So
yeah. We had some friends die with Parkinson's. The horrible thing is, you know, you can't fall backwards when you have Parkinson's.
I know.
You hit the pancake.
Yes.
It's awful.
Yes. So,
well, now on all these senior classes, members only or can outsiders?
Nope. Everything that we offer is, you know, it's part of the membership as far as the classes. But if you want to come in as a non-member, there's a small fee.
Yeah.
But we're open to having, you know, what we call potential members. Everybody is a potential member to yeah. the Y. So having those folks come in and try classes, we just encourage, if you want to come in, we'll figure out how to get you in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So then I know, let's see, you put in a swimming pool a number of years ago.
The pool was original to the building in 93. Yeah,
okay,
it was.
I didn't remember that.
Yeah.
And now the pickleball court is new.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, when somebody said, "You're going to play pickleball?" I said,
yeah.
What's pickleball?
Have you played pickleball yet, Larry?
No, I'm kind of beyond that.
No, nobody's beyond pickleball.
My knees are beyond that. I used to do a lot of things the past few years, but like I gave gun classes, safety classes for women
yeah.
a couple times a year.
Mm-hmm.
The concrete kills me.
Yeah.
I'm bone on bone on one knee. The other one's just full arthritis, but the steroids work. So, but
yeah.
standing on one place in concrete, nah, can't do it. And, but how many people participate in pickleball?
I've never taken count, but we have four courts indoors in the gray gym, and then we have the four new courts outside. So yeah, there are some days when there are all eight courts going. There's four wow. outside. People wow. are playing outside, and there's a group inside. Pickleball is the fastest growing sport in America right now.
Oh, I know.
Pickleball thing, you know, facilities are popping up all over the place. It probably won't be long till pickleball is an Olympic sport, to be honest. It's probably going to get there.
I mean, I played a little tennis, you know.
Yeah.
And I see these great big paddles.
They're like giant ping pong paddles. Yeah. Well, surprisingly, with pickleball, I would consider it a great equalizer of sport, in the sense of you can be athletic, competitive, in the best shape, and you will lose every game. And I know that from experience, because I am very competitive, and you know, I grew up playing sports. I go down and I play that group that plays regularly, and they have figured out a spin, and I swing and I am going to hit it and it whiffs and I feel like a fool. And so they are very skilled in hitting to the right place, knowing when to what they call dink it. And, you know, I have not figured that that craft out yet, but there are a very good group of pickleball players.
So you think sometime in the future, on Sunday, instead of watching tennis, you're going to watch pickleball?
Yeah, it could be a toss-up what people like. Pickleball is very fast-paced and fun to watch.
Well, and older people can.
It's for any age. Yeah. What's interesting, it started off kind of as a more of a kind of senior adult type of, like what I would notice were more senior adults or older folks playing. But over the last few years, we have lots of kids that get off the bus and come into the Y and hang out for a couple hours while, you know, before they can get picked up. And we love having them. And what we've noticed, particularly this year, they're coming in and they're checking out the pickleball paddles and balls, and they're playing pickleball for an hour, 2 hours. And then the high school boys come in and gals, and they go down, and then you have the high schoolers playing some of the middle schoolers. And it's just really fun to see, you know, that group interacting and playing something a little bit different, and just, you know, it's kind of one of those things that you play in. So if you've had your game, you lost, the next group comes in, and that could be sixth graders that are playing a group of juniors, you know, yeah, in high school, and they have fun, and the older kids don't always win. So it really is a fun sport.
Yeah. Well, it seems like it'd be fun. And I know a couple of my sons, they play pickleball, and a couple of my daughters also. But so with the seniors, is there anything else? I'm trying to think. There was when I was working out, my wife went to some kind of a class. I think most of it was sitting down.
That is one of our senior fitness classes. We offer some chair-based classes. The premise of the class is that if you need a chair, and really any of the classes you can do this, but if you need a chair, you use the chair. And if you don't, you have the chair close just in case you might need it.
I think it's called Silver or something.
Silver Sneakers.
Silver Sneakers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's still going.
Yep. We still offer those courses. The names have changed some, but they're all the same basic kind of premise behind them.
Okay. So, okay, let's get back to the 30s through 50s. What are the biggest attractions for people at that age? It's why.
The biggest attraction, I think, is coming in and using the machines and using the pool, swimming laps, and taking the group exercise classes. We have a really strong, solid group of group exercise instructors. Many of them have been there for years and years, and they are passionate about their whatever class they're teaching. They're passionate about the people. Many great friendships have, you know, started in their group X classes. So that's a big draw for a lot of folks. But really, for that age group, coming in, having the ability, if you do have a young family, to be able to put your kids into Child Watch. And
explain Child Watch.
Child Watch is kind of like our babysitting service. Okay. So your kids can come in. We're open certain hours of the day. We're open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to noon. and Monday through Thursday, 4:30 to 7 p.m. And then Saturdays through the school year, we're open 9 to 11 a.m. And you can come and drop your kids there for up to 2 hours, stay in the Y facility, so get a workout in. We have some parents who, you know, drop their kids in there and then go plug in their computer and do some work. As I said, I used to go to the Y when I had my young son and my young daughter. And some days, you know, I'd try to at least get some workout in, but to be honest, there would be some times where I would just go and sit down on one of the chairs in the rec room and just like take a deep breath. I, as a parent of young kids, yeah, you need a break. And I'm not ashamed to say that. Like my kids are wonderful and I love them, but it is really nice to have some sort of support or some option there that you can drop your kids off. You know, they're well taken care of. They're having fun. Like they don't need you. And it's really, you can only be your best self by taking those mental breaks because that's what makes you, you know, a good mom. And that's what I needed. So for a lot of those people in that age group, having the ability to, you know, drop them off at Child Watch, go and get some physical activity, take care of yourself. And then, you know, kids have had fun. Maybe they're worn out and you've had a great workout. Yeah. So
I think I read something on the WISE website about date night.
Yeah, we have it's called Parents Night Out.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, and that's new. Our new membership director, Tamika Sizemore, she has such good ideas. She started this Parents Night Out about once a month. We offer a Friday night for, I think it's 3 hours, a small fee. You come in, drop your kids off to us. We'll feed them dinner. We'll entertain them for 3 hours and you go out on a date or you go out and, you know, whatever that date means to you, get a hike in, have dinner, whatever you want to do, and just have a chance to kind of have that little bit of time with you and your partner and your spouse. So
how much participation have you seen in that?
The first one we did, and I think it's probably, I don't know if they did that before I got there, but it's the first one since I've been there. We had, I think, 12 or 15 kids.
Really?
Yeah. We just had another one in the beginning of March, and we probably had close to double digits. I can't remember that number, but it really is just kind of a great opportunity to plan something out. You don't, you know, stay in town, just do something really easy, and we'll take care of your kids.
So what else haven't we talked about that the Y offers?
Let's see. We have a lot of stuff I'm trying to run through. We have, when you're talking about just youth activities, we have youth gymnastics and ninjastics. Ninjastics has had a name change a couple times. Ninja Kids is kind of one of the buzzwords that people might know it as, or from the American Ninja Warrior kind of spinoff is the way we've looked at that. And so that's kind of teaching kids more of the agility and just doing something a little different than just traditional gymnastics, a little bit of climbing. We have a couple great instructors in that. So the gymnastics and ninjastics program is excellent. We have an amazing swim lesson program. Our swim lessons, if you know anything about the Y nationally, one of the Y's kind of main national goals is to help reduce or eliminate youth drowning. Drowning is the leading cause of unintentional death in children ages 1 to 14.
Wow.
And people don't realize how important it is for your kids to, at a minimum, know how to save themselves were they to fall in water or to see a friend fall in water, and what do you do? And so our swim lesson program obviously starts them at the basics and helps so that they're not scared of the water. A lot of kids come in and they're terrified of the water. They're terrified to put their head under the water. And so we kind of teach them as they are, and we get you to love the water. Then we get you teach you how to be safe in the water and how to swim. And so that's the swim lesson program. Takes you all the way through all the stages of it. But our safety around water program is kind of the very basic piece to that. And we teach the safety around water program to all ages, but we're focusing right now on the area's third graders. So our goal is to hit all third graders in our service area from all the local schools. And the Safety Around Water program is not teaching your kid how to swim. It's actually teaching your kid, your child, how to survive, how to live. So when they're in the water, they come in and we teach them, if you fall in the water, how do you turn over and float? So we teach them the very basic of how to float. And our goal is that by the time they leave, they know at a minimum how to float. And that doesn't expend energy. So they can hopefully float for a long time. Then the other piece to that is if you fall in or you see a friend fall in, what is something you can throw to them to help them, you know, save them? Don't put yourself in the water and try to save them yourself. If you're, you know, a 7 or 8 year old kid, you're not likely to save another 7 or 8 year old kid because you may not have the strength and the stamina to get in the water, save them and pull them to safety. Then you're both going to go under. So the intention behind that is throw something to them, find a stick, just what's the things that are around a pond or a lake, throw it to them, teach them how to save their friend. And then we kind of teach them a few skills on top of that, such as the float and then the swim, float, swim. So you swim a little bit. If you get tired, lay on your back and float, catch your breath, then swim a little more. And it's just teaching them the very basic, hey, doggy paddle. We don't really care what you swim, just swim. And so that Safety Around Water program is a foundational program within the Y nationally. And we have it at our Y that, just really, you know, hits that, major, you know, what are some of the outcomes that we can have from that? And that's hopefully reducing drowning in our area. People don't think about that until there is a drowning or a near drowning. And it's incredibly tragic. And we don't want to see that. And so that's why our goal is we want to see all third graders. We're just kind of hitting that age group just based on feedback from the schools as being a primary age group. And so we do a lot of our fundraising around that program so that schools can come to take the program at, little or no cost. We teach it to our summer campers. They go through a whole week of safety around water and learning about that because it's so important. So our pool area is, has a lot of fun stuff going on. We have a youth experience department that is doing a youth pickleball series right now. So see it, pickleball is all the way down. It's a kindergartner through second grade. Oh my God. And we get requests, hey, when are you doing a third and fourth grader pickleball, you know? So it's not going away, Larry. But the youth experience department has a youth pickleball series. We do youth basketball. So it's kind of that foundational experience and that first exposure to basketball for kids. And she's got a lot of other exciting things kind of going on that she's planning and just kind of, you know, idea generating right now. Our youth experience director has only been here for a few months, so we're just trying to help her get her feet wet and kind of get into some new areas. She's also leading our summer camp program, which is large. It's a large group of kids, and that's very fun. We also are partnering with Batesville Community Schools for next school year. We're going to take over their after school latchkey program. They have run that for a few years and just kind of saw a great partnership that could blossom from there. So we're going to help them and run that program after school starting in the 24-25 school year. And gosh, Larry, they're...
Well, how many members do you have?
We have about 5,300 members.
Wow. Yeah. Is that family and single members together?
Yeah, so that's all the you know, memberships together. It equates to about 2,800 units. So like a family is a unit of one, it's one unit, but it could be 8 family members.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a huge impact. I mean, like I said, we don't just see people from Batesville. We're getting people from all over Ripley, Franklin, Dearborn County, Decatur County, even that, you know, 5,300 people, that's a significant percentage of the population in our area that comes to the Y and yes.
There's only
participates.
7,500 people in Batesville.
Yeah.
700 in Oldenburg.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, you know, are there any expansion plans or do you have any room for other outdoor activities or indoor activities? Or
yeah, we do have a sand volleyball court and a Gaga pit. The kids love Gaga.
Well, how long have you had the volleyball court?
The sand volleyball has been there since I've been at the Y. So I don't know when it was put in, but my understanding it's been there for a long time.
Yeah. See, I just went straight to the weight room.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah. No. So the, as far as expansion plans, we are in the first kind of conversation topics with our board and just trying to figure out what's next for the Y. Is there an expansion? What does childcare look like? As I said, we're in what's considered a childcare desert, and you know, the Y's are one of the largest childcare providers across the country. And how can we help kind of support families in that? Is that an expansion? I don't know. Since there's going to be a lot of people listening to this, I'm not going to commit to anything.
Well, but you know what?
We have a lot of opinions that are shared.
You know what might be a good little moneymaker for you, and you don't really need a lot of room. You just need some netting and stuff. It's an automatic baseball pitching machine.
Yeah. Another Y has one of those. I think maybe they don't have it anymore. Really? And they tried to sell it to us. And they said it just was a lot of mechanical issues, I think, is what I understood.
Well, it has to be calibrated, I'm sure, once in a while. Otherwise, you might get beaned.
Yeah, I don't venture into those very often, for sure.
So do you still have membership drives and such?
Yeah, every January we kind of are known for doing our annual joining, bring in 15 canned goods, and we waive the $75 joiners fee. We take those canned goods and we distribute them out to the local food pantries in our service area. So this year we had, I think, three that we distributed non-perishable food items. It wasn't just canned goods. We even had people bringing in toothpaste and toothbrushes and things like that. So that's one of those programs that, yes, it brings new members for us, but we try to look at that from a place of, we're bringing all these new people in. How can we also serve the community? I mean, that's the overarching goal of the Y is not just to be a gym and swim. It's to serve the community, to kind of leave what's our legacy that we're going to leave in the community, and just how can we take, is there something in the community that there's an issue that the Y can work through? Mm-hmm. Now, we have a wonderful community that, as I took on the CEO role, met with a lot of different leaders in the community in and around not only Batesville, but Ripley County and Franklin County. And one of the biggest things we all talk about is when there is a certain community issue that comes forward, how can we figure out who the best person to serve that need is, and not for all of us to all try and do it. Mm-hmm. And so that's been where I have noticed the greatest kind of community partnership stuff come along and say, okay, the school system does the backpack program, and the summer food program at the Methodist Church does a great summer food program. We don't need to do a food program. We'd love to, if it was a need that the community had. The Batesville, food pantry does a great job. There's one in Delaware. So they have all these great services for that. We don't need to duplicate that. Yeah, let's just do things like collect canned goods or collect cereal boxes for the summer food program, to help them instead of trying to take away that service. So that's another thing. Every May, I think it's in May, we usually do some sort of drive around, like cereal boxes or something like that, to get for the summer food program. We usually do another drive somewhere in the year to just encourage people to join. And if there are any barriers for people to join, we always say, this is a membership for all. We are not a Y or a facility or an organization that is exclusive in any way. You don't have to make a certain amount of money. We don't care who you are or where you come from or what you have to offer us. That's unimportant. It's more important that we want you there. We want your kids at the Y. We want you to be in a place where we can serve you, you can get well, whatever that wellness means, and your kids can have a great time. And so, you know, even if someone can't afford the Y, you better believe we will make sure that they get a membership one way or another. Yeah.
Do you have any type of transportation for seniors that are half disabled or just can't make it?
Yeah, we don't. The Catch-a-Ride, a lot of folks use that.
And explain that, because...
So Catch-a-Ride, it's a program, it's a transportation service. I don't know if it's all over the county, but there's a small fee to, you call them, and they'll come and pick you up. You pay the small fee and they'll take you where you need to go around the area. So we get a lot of folks that it does seem like it's the senior adult group who maybe they can't drive, won't drive, aren't able to drive. They can use that service, and it is, they have different buses that are even ADA accessible. So if you're in a wheelchair and you have mobility issues, you can still call the service up and still get to the Y. So that's a great service. And again, it's if they're providing that great service, we don't need to try to duplicate it or reinvent the wheel. We'll let Catch a Ride, you know, handle that part of the services.
Yeah, because I imagine there's a lot of seniors that would like to play cards.
Yeah.
But, you know, and there's just no way to get
the card group would love to have them.
Yeah.
Yeah. They continue to grow and everybody brings a small snack to share and they pop popcorn every week and it smells so good in the whole facility.
Well, and I think Kim Paul at the Gibsons every now and then he offers free for, different movies. And I imagine that would be popular with some of the seniors.
Yeah. We've been there for one with our family to one of the free movies, I think.
Is that right?
Well, the Batesville Drug Coalition a lot of times will sponsor some free movies at the theater as well.
Okay.
So they kind of help with, some of those events as well.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
So, well, we're approaching 50 minutes. Are we missing anything here?
I don't know. It seems like we covered the full gamut of the why. I'm almost certain I'm missing something. And I hope whoever from my team that I didn't talk about, I hope they're not upset. I really tried to cover everything across the board. Yeah. I think for us, it's just really important for people to know that the why is a place for anyone to be. There is, we want people to be there to have a good time, meet new people. Even if you don't like people, you can come after hours. We have 24-hour access, so you can buy
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so you can buy a fob, a 24-hour fob, if you're 18 or over, and you're a Y member. You get this little fob, and we have a separate entrance that when the main part of the building's closed, we have about half of our building that is open for 24 hours. There's a lot of shift work in and around Batesville with the factories, with law enforcement officers, rural hospitals. So not everybody can come during our normal hour. Somebody might not be able to get there till 11 o'clock at night. So if you buy that fob, you can come in. And like I said, if you don't want to be around people, you can come at 1 o'clock in the morning and you're unlikely to be around anybody else.
Yeah, because I think my one son used to work out at 4:30 or 5 in the morning.
Yeah, we have a large group that comes in between that 5 and 6 o'clock hour and gets a workout and then heads to work or whatever starts their day.
Yeah, so, and the thing that I think amazes me more than anything is years ago, you go by the Y and there might be 20 cars there.
Mm-hmm.
Any time of day I go by the Y, the lot's filled.
Yep.
I mean, it's just incredible.
It is. It's a cornerstone of the community. And I learned that when I moved to Batesville, how people, they love the Y. The Y leadership prior to me has been amazing. I'm only the third CEO of the Y. You know, Jerry Lanning was the first.
Oh,
and then Angie,
a long time.
He was. And then Angie Harmeyer was there for 11 years and she did an amazing job. And so it's just been put into a place where people appreciate what the Y does. And we are very lucky to be a small rural community of only 7,000 people to have a YMCA.
I know. It's just crazy.
It is.
I mean, I remember when they were building the Y, and I thought, at the time, I think we only had about 6,500 people here in Batesville. I'm thinking, can they really support this? Yeah, but it's worked out well.
It has. And I think it's because people understand how important the Y is, not only if you want to have, a workout, but also the childcare created an even deeper kind of part in the community that was needed. And then you add the programs that we offer. There's a lot of communities that don't have swim lesson opportunities or gymnastics. Just some of those very basic things that communities need, that youth need. And so the visionary of, Dan Hillenbrand being the visionary of what the community needed, that was amazing and really could not have done it without that vision.
Yeah. Okay. Well, do you have any words of wisdom before we close out?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe you should have given me a moment to come in with one of those. No, I'm just grateful for the opportunity to lead such a great organization. And I have a really great team. There's a great group of people at the Y, and the members that come in, everybody appreciates what we do. And I'm just very thankful that, you know, we ended up in this community and I got this opportunity, and it, I just couldn't, I'm just a person who kind of grow, I grow where I'm planted. So wherever you are, it's, I think, most important to, maybe you don't have your dream job, maybe you don't have direction, maybe you don't know where you're going, but you can certainly grow in the place that you're in. And I kind of have always said that, that I grow where I'm planted piece is really part of my life. I never wanted to climb any ladders. There was never this pinnacle of where I wanted to be. It was just, I'm going to do the best that I can where I'm at. And I've worked very hard to get to where I am, but I just really enjoy being given opportunities.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think what we'll do is close this out with the national anthem. I want to thank Tara for being a guest on Larry Reedy's America. God bless you. God bless the United States of America. And I'll talk to you on the next podcast. Boom. Boom. Here.